other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, April 24th, and we're here as promised.
You know, it's going to be an eclipse tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like a double eclipse. I don't really know what that means because I didn't look it up, but
a double eclipse. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a lunar eclipse and solar eclipse at the same time?
I guess that's what that means.
Okay.
I don't know, but I read about it, and because I get my horoscope stuff, but I didn't really like study too much into it. I like kind of skimmed through it. You know, like I half pay attention to everything.
Right.
Like, you know, I can't ever give anything my full attention because I'm just too ADD and like I get bored too easily. But so I skimmed through it, you know, and I was like, oh, that's cool, double eclipse. All right. But I read the rest of it, which is basically saying how April's been shitty, and it has been. So
has it been for you?
You know, yeah. In some ways, yes. In other ways, no.
Okay.
So
every month is like that. I mean, come on.
No, I have some really
good months. Some
months
are really good months?
Most of my months can be like really good months. Yeah.
Okay.
Like April was just, it just was. Like, what was the point of it? I don't know. I don't even know. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
But it's funny because that's what the whole thing was about. So right. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that was your horoscope for today?
Well, no, it was like a recap. There's this guy. He was on the show before. Oh my God, I can't think of his name, but whatever. I'll come back to it later. Michael Lennox.
Okay.
He's a really well-known astrologer, and we had him on the show, like, I don't know, a year ago or something.
Okay.
And, he writes this column about, like, what happens in April and then the upcoming eclipse and what happens during the eclipse and then May. So it's supposed to be, like, May is supposed to be amazing, and basically it's what he was kind of saying.
But you don't live your life based on that, do you?
No, but it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it just does. Like I said, I read it now, like, I didn't read it before, so it's, like, after the fact, so I'm like, oh, yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is he's saying how, with this eclipse, that it kind of, like, you know, time's moving faster, and, like, people say that, and I'm like, oh, whatever, I just think it's because I'm older, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I will say that, and doing with, like, the healing work and stuff I do, when I think it happens, and, like, sometimes I screw myself because I'm like, damn it, why did I think that? Because I didn't really want that to happen. Like, the other day when I was like, I really wish someone would hit my bumper so I could get a new bumper.
I was going to
ask
you about
it. And I got hit
it.
The next day, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I asked for it. Okay.
I never realized you asked for it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Really?
I wanted a new car.
Okay. Well, is it still in your... in your trunk, in the back of your car?
I took it out yesterday before my trip to San Diego.
Yeah, you were driving with it dangling behind your car.
I know, and then I put it in there. I'm like, whatever. I just have to get it done. I haven't answered insurance yet. Like, that's a whole... Because I've been so busy.
Yeah.
Like, I will. I'll deal with it. But it's funny because I did ask for it. Like, I wanted it to happen.
There you go.
And it... So it's just funny, but it's saying how, like, time is moving quicker. So, like... It's kind of like these two eclipses are kind of like a leap hole. So it like skips right over whatever you want. So like your thought process right now during this next week or two is like, it actually until June 7th it was saying. It's so weird how I remember random facts. Like, how do I
Yeah,
that
you do.
Like, I don't know.
I don't remember important facts. I don't know about
why
you.
Things like this get stored in my brain, but they do. And this is why my brain's so clouded with useless information.
Okay, so start focusing on things, you know.
Anyway. But so it's actually funny because not too long ago, I was actually thinking about that crazy guy that was hiding in my closet. Remember
right.
like the stalker?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, that would really suck to have a stalker again. And then I'm like laughing like, it'd be a really funny story. Okay. So again, watch what I say. So... This I have to like tell you this. This is just like insane.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
going to the police today because I'm just like, I don't want it to go as further as a dude hiding in my closet again. Like, I really don't need that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was selling an air conditioning unit on Craigslist.
Right.
Gotta love Craigslist, right?
Right.
So I'm selling it on there, and it was like $100, like whatever. I'm trying to like clean out like my stuff.
Right.
And
but what do you have with air conditioning units? What you know, why do you have it?
Because I have central air. So it's just been sitting in my garage. Because I have a garage.
You've been, like, dragging it every time you move?
It was from my last apartment 3 years ago, yes. God. And I bought it new. So I figured, I mean, I don't know. It's just been sitting there.
I think that was the time to sell it, not now.
Probably.
But anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? So anyway, it's $100.
I just wanted to know how you got
Shut
it. That's
up.
All.
Shut up. So the point is that I was selling it for $100. This guy like texts me and he's like, and like a million people were like calling and texting.
Oh yeah.
And I was in San Diego and I was just kind of like, I don't know, just yeah, later, sure, whatever. And the guy was like, well, I'm a teacher. I want to sell it for, I mean, can I have it for $70? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. You know, I'm home later. I'll let you know when I'm home. Well, come to find out, this pregnant lady comes and picks it up, and she bought it for like $100. So, like, of course, I gave it to her versus $70. You know, like, whatever.
Right.
I want to do it for that.
But you did tell him to come over?
No, I didn't give him the address.
Didn't. Okay.
Here's
good.
What's interesting. I've been very good recently. Yeah. Sometimes I just like spit out the address, and I'm like, sure, here you go, and it's been great. Times that I've held back, like that crazy girl, that crazy girl who wanted to like move in my place, thank God I didn't give her the address. And it was like, what, a week long of like insane emails. And it's like, oh, then she starts emailing from other accounts and you're like, wow, crazy wench. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
You know, thank God I didn't give you my address. Anyway, I didn't give him my address. Like, I didn't. But it's funny because I gave the pregnant girl my address. So, like, I don't know. It's like I subconsciously knew or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy, I write him back and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Because he writes back, are you home yet? And I go, I'm so sorry. Yes. I got home, but someone happened to catch me when I was getting there. Mm-hmm. And I wound up selling it. But I have another one that I have that's $150 because it's a nicer one. And he's like, you fucking bitch. And like,
wow.
He went crazy. And he was like, I'm cursing you. Yeah, he's like, I'm
oh,
this.
God.
What did he say? I can't remember. I should like read you the messages.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's the only thing he can do.
He went nuts. Well, then it was like my phone blowing up, like it was insane. And then again last night, this was like days ago, you know, and I Googled him and I'm like, well, you're stupid because you told me you're an 11th grade teacher in Sunset area. So I Googled the phone number and I found, of course, because I'm like, I can find anybody. That's
yeah,
the thing. Like,
especially today,
you don't think I'm crazy. If I want to stalk you, I will hunt you down. I found his photos. I found where he works. I'm going to call the school board.
Right.
And I'm going to call the cops. And I have his picture and everything. I have all the messages saved. He even did it last night. He was like, actually, it was funny. He's like, the curse, enough is enough. The curse has been lifted. Because I wrote back, I'm really sorry that your life is so sad that you have to fill it up with, like, crazy,
yeah,
you
cursing
know,
people.
You know,
stuff,
I sold an AC to someone else. Oops, like, I have another one. It's not like, no, it's not $70. But it was just, like, the point. It was so crazy. And he was saying all these insane things. And I'm like, and it was funny because I knew I was pushing his buttons. But it was, like, kind of funny. I was like, you know what? I hope I surround you with love. That's all. And I hope you find peace in your life. That's what I wrote. And I hope you find peace.
Because if he's a friggin' spiritual person, he doesn't say this shit to people.
So
you know?
I'm like, you should literally. It was so crazy.
People.
I mean, it was so crazy.
Right.
So, of course, I'm paranoid because of the massive messages and like things that he was saying and calling and like crazy numbers. That, you know, I had someone who broke in my house before and did all this. I've had crazy stalkers and nut people. So I'm, like, thinking, like, last night, I didn't want to read his message because I just saw, like, enough is enough, curse. And then I just, like, skipped past it. I'm like, I can't deal with this. So I search my closets. I search under my bed. Like, like you do when you're a kid, you think a monster's hiding.
Right.
Well, I actually have to do it because that nightmare actually happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. I shouldn't have to live like this, given thank God I've had a P.O. box for like 10 years and no one knows where I live. But then I like Googled my number, like, what could they find? You know?
Uh-huh.
And the only thing that shows up is like the healing work.
Right.
So it's like, all right, good. Like, there's
That's
no. But it was just like, I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Over
All
an
this
AC.
Shit happens to you. I don't understand.
Over
it.
An AC.
Yeah.
I'm like,
maybe you're putting it out there. I don't know.
Well, that's what my point was. I was like saying, I wonder. That would be a funny story.
Yeah,
here's
if I had
story.
Another stalker. So there
no
you
more.
Go. There you
no
go.
More. I mean, because I was like joking when I said it. Like, I wasn't thinking. And
right.
then. Yeah, so anyway, be careful. My point was, be careful what you say or ask for.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, anyway, we have a busy show today. In a few minutes, somebody's going to call and talk to us about an event that they have coming up. But we do have two very special guests in the studio. They're waiting anxiously to get on the mic, so welcome to the show.
Hi,
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
It's your turn now.
I'm still in shock about a man hiding in a closet.
Yeah.
I had a stalker and it was insane. That was last year. But I mean, it's just like the same symptoms of a crazy person are like happening over an AC.
Right.
So it was just like, really?
Ridiculous.
Like, people are so crazy in LA. Like, that's my thing. Like, ugh.
Yeah, they're like that everywhere. But
no,
I'm sure Anastasia
LA.
Can tell us that in England you have pretty weird people too, right?
Oh. Of course. Only the best people are chronically insane.
Yeah. So we have Anastasia in the studio, and we met the other day. You guys might do a show here on the station. Mm-hmm. And you brought in your director, right? Who is Vanessa. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Hello. Thank you.
And let's find out a little bit about you. We will be interrupted in about 5 minutes, but then we'll continue and stuff. So first tell us what is the stuff you're working on, and then we'll find out a little more about you. And
I'm currently in a stage production of Fragments of Oscar Wilde by Vanessa Kate,
mm-hmm.
Adapted by Vanessa Kate, and it's pretty good. It's pretty amazing to be part of a strong team and you know, creatively, and it's an amazing theatre in NoHo, North Hollywood.
Right.
And which gets a lot of
What's
press.
What's the theater called?
Zombie
Joe's Underground Theater.
Zombie Joe's,
yeah.
Really?
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
No, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's actually been around for 21 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hang out in NoHo too much, but it's starting to look very nice there, huh?
Yeah, it does look good. Yeah.
Do you guys hang out there sometimes?
I basically live there.
Really?
With how much I'm at the theater, yeah.
Yeah, wow, awesome. So you're the director of the show.
I am.
And how long has this been running now, or is it starting now?
It opened at the end of March.
Okay.
There's only 4 more performances, actually, Saturday nights.
Come see it.
Come see it, she says in her authoritative British accent. but it's great. What it basically is different pieces of Oscar Wilde's works,
mm-hmm.
Pieces of The Picture of Dorian Gray that I adapted for the stage, The Nightingale and the Rose, which is one of his children's stories,
mm-hmm.
that I adapted for stage, and then his 2 unfinished works that he unfortunately never finished before he died, Florentine Tragedy and La Sainte Courtisane.
Mm-hmm.
And Anastasia here, who mm-hmm. you can't see over, you know, the airwaves, but she is a beautiful
Well, we'll have a picture later on. We'll put it on Facebook and everything.
And she's the courtesan. So,
yeah.
What's the courtesan?
A courtesan...
The shot. No,
that is not true.
I mean, hey, now every show needs one.
a courtesan is like basically historically in a bunch of different cultures. A courtesan is a professional lover, not like a prostitute. I mean, that part of that is part of it, but she. In cultures where women wouldn't be treated equally as men, they would be educated. They would learn how to read. They would learn how to play musical instruments. They would, you know, learn how to talk to a man so that they could interact and please them, not just with the body,
but with
the mind.
So it's like a geisha in Japan or something, right?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm basically a goddess.
A goddess. Yes.
Basically, that's true.
Okay, well, that's why I invited you to the show, because you're a goddess.
That's why I had to cast her.
Yeah. So now, you said you adapted this, so you did the writing as well?
The pieces are written by Oscar Wilde.
Right.
But yes, all of them had to be cut down, put together. There's so many different pieces and elements, and the unfinished works that he did obviously couldn't be done by themselves.
Right.
So interspersed through that are pieces of his finished works, and, you know, Picture of Dorian Gray is a full-length novel.
Right.
So having to, you know, take pieces of that and put
right,
it on the
and
stage.
Shorten it and condense it.
Exactly.
For quite a bit, yeah. So how long is the show? I mean, that's like a lot of stories, right?
It runs about an hour long.
Really?
An hour long. Mm-hmm.
So you go through the stuff quickly.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's very quick changes. There's no like intermission.
Right.
So it's very kind of go.
Right.
Go.
Exactly.
Here's the thing about, I mean, theater in general, it's Zombie Joe's, but also me as a director. You know, audiences these days, they have short attention spans.
Yeah.
There's not room for these dramatic pauses that actors love to get. Like, I get bored when I go see plays, and it's like, let's just get it out.
Right.
You know? So yeah. That's why we fit a lot into that hour. If we took those pauses, it would easily be an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah. Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get more into how you got into the play and everything, but so how did you guys meet? I mean, were you, like, auditioning and things
yes,
like that?
Yes, I held auditions.
Yeah, I went for an audition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a monologue, and I actually had a sore throat, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I have a sore throat.
She came in, she was so cute, and she's like, just so you know, playwrights are my life, Oscar Wilde is my life. And I was like, oh my God, I love her, I need her as my courtesan.
Yeah. So. Okay, hold that thought, and let's take our guest now. Good morning, you're on the air, go ahead.
Hello, is this Sam?
Yes, it's Sam. Sam and Brigitta in the morning, and we've been waiting for you. Is this Dave?
This is Dave,
yes. Yes, welcome welcome to the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling you from San Juan Capistrano.
Oh, wow. County. That's beautiful.
I love that area.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So now, I guess naturally, since you're involved with a project that involves Orange County, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, we're part of The Effect, and The Effect is a faith community and a recovery ministry. We're 6 years old next month, and we've been in San Juan Capistrano for this whole time. And basically what we're doing is we're creating a community for recovery. And what we've found through the years of working with recovering addicts and alcoholics is that community is really the thing. It's what it's all about. If people can stay in community, if they can really see what it looks like to live a sober life, how to have fun, how to socialize, how to do all the things that they were used to doing with substances, how to do without those substances, that makes all the difference in the world. So what we wanted to do is create an ongoing community that was available 7 days a week for people really to be able to plug in, know that they had some place to go, and get all the tools that they needed in order to experience true recovery.
So can you help me with my sugar addiction?
We might as well.
Yes, we can, because what we found was is that beyond just substance abuse, everybody's recovering from something.
There you go.
And that's really the key. Yeah. You know, so there's whether we're using actual substances to mask the unfinished business of the past or some sort of process or some sort of behavior, the way through is always the same.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, it doesn't matter what you're addicted to, but I guess the steps are pretty much the same. So you sort of like give a place for people to hang out and work on their recovery and meet other people?
Right. Well, it's structured, obviously. We have meetings. There are NA meetings, AA, right. That being Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. We have our own gatherings and workshops and studies. We have a full treatment center that gives day treatment for people who need, you know, an extra amount of clinical help in addition to the community. And then beyond that, there's just getting together with the people and finding new networks, new friends that can lead in all sorts of different directions in people's lives.
Right.
So there's something happening every day of the week, multiple times during the day, for people of all ages. A lot of young people are there, of course. 20-somethings are a huge part of the drug problem in Orange County, but people of all ages can find their place.
Right. So is that really, is this really like a serious problem in Orange County right now? I mean, because I know it's a problem everywhere. Is it any worse in Orange County, do you think?
It seems to be, you know, something to do with the affluence, something to do with the availability of the drugs. It's a huge problem in Orange County. It's a huge problem everywhere.
Right.
One of the things that has really come to the fore has been problems with prescription drugs. Overdose deaths due to prescription drugs has now actually overtaken motor vehicle accidents nationwide as the leading cause of accidental deaths. And we're experiencing that hugely in Orange County, and especially with young people. So it's a disease that is just really, really taking our young people out. And you look at Orange County, you see how perfect it looks and how affluent and these blue ribbon schools and all of that. But underneath the surface, we've got a serious addiction problem.
Right. And addiction really knows no social class, no race, no age, no anything. It pretty much affects everyone. Now, I wanted to ask you, so now you guys are going to be screening a film next month. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We have an ongoing series called First Friday. So the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m. at our location in San Juan, we have a forum because we realize that families, especially parents, are kind of clueless often to the world of addiction, both from a treatment perspective and from the addiction side, until a family member, typically a child, gets pulled into addiction and into that world.
Right.
And they suddenly find themselves in crisis and they don't know where to turn, they don't know what to do. It's just a dizzying array of things that they need to deal with in a short amount of time. So we put together First Friday as a forum for families especially to be able to come and get the information, the education, and the resources they need to be able to deal with what's happening to their families.
Right.
So this has been ongoing for a better part of a year now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have coming next May 3rd, the first Friday of May, is Natalie Costa, who is in her daughter's life, had to deal with the death of a friend and an overdose of a young person, produced a movie called Behind the Orange Curtain, which is dealing exactly with what we've been talking about.
Mm.
How behind the facade of wealthy Orange County, there is this huge growing problem among young people. Produced the movie, which is a documentary film. She's going to be with us on May 3rd. She's going to screen a special shortened version of the film. But she's also going to bring a panel along with her, which typically consists of someone from drug enforcement, from the Orange County Health Agency, parent advocacy, and discuss the problems along with the screening and take questions from the audience.
Sounds good. Sounds
awesome.
Good. So that's in San Juan Capistrano, and that's May 3rd at 7 p.m. The place is called The Effect. It's one word, right? The Effect.
All one word.
Right.
Yes.
And are you the founder of this organization?
Yes, I'm co-founder.
Oh.
There are three of us 6 years ago that started The Effect.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Now, do you think that a lot of, because people are being diagnosed with, like, ADD and whatnot, do you think a lot of it, I mean, because I know people that, you know, instead of taking those pills, they sell those pills.
Wow.
Do you find that to be a main drug, is like Ritalin and those type of things to be, like, a main drug of a prescription drug? Or is it mostly, like, painkillers? Because I see a lot of that here, too.
Actually, kids are abusing just about anything they can get their hands on.
Bath salts,
mood-altering, anything that's psychoactive, they'll get into it. So what's happening is a process called pharming, PHARMING.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids are going through their parents' medicine cabinet, and they're just pulling anything that they can, including drugs that are prescribed for other uses, as you say, like ADD.
Right.
And then they bring them together, they sell them, they have parties for all those drugs go into a bowl, and you kind of grab that, take what you get. It's so available to them, especially in an affluent area. And the drugs that are being overprescribed by doctors and medicine in general.
Yeah.
And so, people are keeping track of the pills that they don't use. They stick them in the medicine cabinet. The kids are getting them, and it's becoming a huge problem. Now, the actual legal pharmaceutical drugs is where the kids can get started.
Right.
But since they're so expensive, then they'll move to street drugs, which are less expensive as their addiction progresses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, sounds fascinating. I think, pretty relevant. I hope a lot of people are listening and going to take advantage of this.
I agree. And this is why pharmaceuticals suck and you should go completely organic.
There you go.
And homeopathic.
To put it mildly. Okay, the film is Behind the Orange Curtain. You can see it at The Effect. That's at in San Juan Capistrano. I guess, do you guys have a website? So people can get the address.
We absolutely do. People can go to the website and get more information. And the address is just TheEffect, TheEffect.org.
Okay.
And you can get information there. We're right off the 5 freeway at Ortega Highway. It's easy to get to. There's maps on the website, and you can get more information there.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Dave. I'm glad we got you on the line so people can learn about this and know more, because I know that in addiction, they say that you need to have people around you. You can't do it by yourself. And I think this is
plus, I think it's a big thing for parents to step up and clean your medicine cabinets out and realize what's happening in your house when you're gone. I mean, it's like nowadays, it's like you have to watch out for your bath salts. You have to watch out for,
that's true.
It's just
everything.
Times have changed a lot. So it's time for parents to step up and take responsibility. And I think that's the biggest thing in the OC areas. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well,
couldn't agree more. And that's exactly what this first Friday will be all about, is giving parents the tools that they need, things that they can do to keep their kids safe. So, and beyond that, we do have a recovery line number that parents can call into if they have questions, they want to talk to a clinician, and they want to get more help, and even up to clinical assessment and what they need. So if you want, I can give you that number as well for parents.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so our recovery line is toll-free. It's 888-690-0900. And you can call that 7 days a week, pretty much 24/7, and get someone who can help you with your problems.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, Dave, thank you so much. All the best to you, and thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me on. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's that. Addiction's always, relevant because you see it all around you and stuff, but God, it's depressing.
I mean,
I know
people, someone in particular, that just had a bunch of, like, a plethora of, like, painkillers around and, like, is selling them for, like, $10 a pop.
Wow.
Just because he's like, well, whatever, I can get more.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think it's a very big deal over here. Coming from England, who there's a big kind of psychiatric industry over there. We have a lot of psychiatric homes, a lot of psychiatric hospitals. Like, my mom and dad own a psychiatric home. Yeah, in England. And you don't see that many kind of bums on the street. A lot of people are getting help. And I think one of the biggest problems over here is that, probably a lot of people are going to kill me for saying
this,
is that cannabis and weed is legal. And I think that's where the problems start. You start smoking things which you probably, that still alter the mind. And people think, oh, it's herbal, it's fine. But it still alters your mind and perception.
Right.
And you need more and more. You go into prescription drugs and it's just fun and these kids don't care because weed is legal.
Right.
And I do think it's a big problem over here.
I see to a point what you're saying. I don't smoke weed at all. This person does.
Right. But I don't think it's a gateway drug though. But
I don't think it's a gateway. I have to say I don't think that is a gateway. Just because I think people see it more as, I don't do it. So it's not like I'm all for, smoking pot or anything. Yeah. I don't do anything. But I don't think it's really, from what I've seen and all the Hollywood parties that I've been to and whatnot, it's like people smoke weed, but it's not like what the problem is. And I don't think it's like a gateway. Like you either like you smoke weed and you stick with that and you don't really do anything else because you're like kind of hippie-like and you're all natural and whatever. It's like, it's all the other stuff that people are doing. All the pill heads and all the, there's a ton of like people selling pills, like I was saying, prescription drugs left and right.
That seems to be like the latest
thing. And cocaine
thing now,
is a big thing here.
Right.
I used to walk into parties and they would have mounds and mounds of it. I mean, it was ridiculous, the things that I've seen.
Yeah.
They weren't the people that were smoking weed. They were the ones that were just like crazy partier, very, very Hollywood scene and like the pill heads. It was weird. It was like they're one group, and then like the people who smoke weed are like another. It's. I know it sounds weird, but like they don't really.
Right. But yeah. But I do see your point because a drug is a drug, you know.
I see your point, but I don't see much here.
No, that's true. But I think kids that have that smoke pot all the time, I think they experience addiction symptoms just like everybody else. You know.
And they do it quicker. And,
right. Exactly. But. Forget about the drugs now. Let's go back to you.
It's Wednesday morning, everyone.
Yeah. There's so much estrogen in this room, I'm going to explode.
Oh, and by the way, I cheated and had a little bit of the chocolate.
Yeah?
And I may have to run to the bathroom and puke my guts out.
Oh, my God.
I feel that disgusting right now.
So why did you have chocolate?
I know, because it was from the people yesterday.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to.
I know, but it was staring at me. It was in my car.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there were gluten in it. I don't know. The other stuff didn't. But I think it's the fact that I've been cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a little bit of the white chocolate. And I feel it coming up.
Are you a big fan of clonic irrigation?
Of colonics?
Yeah,
she does it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually,
in England, it's very bizarre because I've been to two types of specialists, ones that are totally for it and ones that are totally against it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I used to have them quite often because I felt high afterwards, like a natural high. I would zoom around everywhere. It'd be amazing.
Because you have so much energy.
Yeah. It's basically like doing like 7 hours of yoga in one day.
Yeah.
It's like so kind of like, oh my God, I feel amazing.
Yeah.
But this one specialist said, if it goes in and it pierces your bowel, you're dead in 3 minutes.
Really?
If what?
If like the hose, when it goes up your bum,
yeah,
it pierces the bowel.
If it pierces it,
Well, it doesn't go in that far. So, and that's the thing, like, there's a new thing with the old versions and the new versions, and, like, only reason is because my girlfriend's in this place. And I know I've learned, like, so much about it.
Yeah,
I was terrified.
We listened a whole hour for how to clean the shit out of the
body. Yeah, like, guys get, but I know a lot of guys that do it, and they used to have, like, the big hoses that the water, a person would stand there with you, the water goes in, the water goes out, they insert it. They've changed it all, where now it's just, like, a straw that goes inside you, and it goes inside as much as your fingernail. That's it. That's all it's going in, your fingernail. And, I mean, imagine guys, I'm sorry, gay guys, so they're pushing it way more in there than that. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, anyway. So it goes in like a fingernail. It's just like a straw thing. And then, so the water goes in that way, and then when you, like, push it out, it doesn't go through the hose. It just comes out. And then you're laying in this, like, tub thing. Like, you're not laying in it. Like, you're laying above it. But it goes, like, in this hole below you.
Okay.
It's really weird. But, like, you don't even have to. And no one is in there anymore with you. And you can just, like, turn the machine on and off, like, you want, like, whenever you want. It's really cool.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's so much more, like, private, I guess, in a way.
Yeah
that's true.
And you don't
true.
Have
yeah.
to worry about that. I mean, yeah, if you're shoving some big tube up you. I mean, same thing if you're shoving, like, those sword guys who shove swords down their throats. I mean, if you do it the right way, you're okay. If you don't, you're piercing yourself and dying.
And
so it's kind of the same thing, just the other end.
The worst thing about it was when I was going to go do it. And the girl that did it was, she was the bomb. She was so cool.
Yeah.
But I saw her in the, like, superstore, like the supermarket, and I was like, she's seen a bit too much. Like, she really has.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is awkward for me, and I'm, like, grocery shopping, and I'm like, there she is. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her. We're thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
You've seen what a lot of people haven't seen.
Right. Where the moon don't shine. But, you know, that's the thing. They don't care, you know? I mean,
yeah,
they're totally
they
okay
don't.
With
it's
it.
It's like a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
So anyway, enough about
speaking
shit
of which,
now.
I'm going today.
So back to the show and everything. So
yeah, drugs, shit, and theater.
There you go. That's our show.
Coffee.
So now you answered the ad for the audition.
Yep.
And had you been acting for a long time before that?
Yeah, I've done 4 years in England. I was actually it was a bit controversy at the time, but I actually played Hamlet.
Oh really?
Yeah, for 6 months.
Wow.
Touring around, and that was it was amazing. It was hard work. It was horrific horrific learning all the lines because Hamlet's such an iconic play that you mess up and everyone fucking knows.
Right.
Everyone knows that you've done something, you know, that you fucked up.
Yeah.
So it was pretty difficult for me, and as Vanessa knows, I do have trouble with my lines.
Do you?
Yeah, unless it's a comedy. If it's a comedy, I'm bam, bam, bam. I'm like, yeah, I'm the shit on stage.
Yeah.
But if it's like a tragedy, I'm like,
yeah, it's hard. It's hard to remember all these lines, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are you into it, though? I mean, does the story interest you in this particular show that
you're
doing?
Yeah, it does. It's
well, she's got to lie no matter what because the director's sitting right here.
Yeah, right? I would tell her to her face.
I don't think she'd be able to do it. I don't think she'd be able to do it if she didn't enjoy it, you know?
No, I do enjoy it. Yeah. I think it's. I love being part of this, the cast as well. The cast is phenomenal.
Right.
It's so much fun to be part of such a flamboyant cast.
Really?
Honestly, some of these guys are phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's just amazing. Wow. And that I love it in that sense. My character, however, I mean, she is this goddess, and she's basically one of her lines is, "For whom I smile leaves the companions and follows me home." Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, in today's light, it's like, well, if I smiled at Brad Pitt, would he follow me home? I don't know.
Well, if you smile at the wrong guy, like the AC guy, he might follow you home.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that might boost my confidence in the place. You know.
Well, so how many people are in the cast?
It's a 10-person cast.
10-person.
It's a really exquisite cast. You know, everyone has a different background, but everyone's so talented. It's a really warm, inviting, positive group. Some people I've worked with before. Natalie Hyde, who assistant directed as well. I've worked with her on, like, every project for the past 2 years. And actually, my boyfriend is in it, too.
Really?
Who I have to kiss. Yeah.
Who I have to kiss.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, they have a love.
How is
love
that?
Scene.
Well, I didn't know that they were dating at first. And so, obviously, being an insane British guy, I turned around and went, well, how was it?
He just looked at me and he's like, it was good.
And I was like, do not ignore me.
That was really funny. I just smiled and laughed at him. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And then I found
I often
out,
think dying. About this, you know, when actors have to kiss and everything, you know, I mean, it's like, you have to get into it. It's not just people say, oh, I'm just acting and all this stuff.
But I will tell
that's
you.
That's bullshit. You know, you're a human being.
I will tell you that the weirdest one ever was, okay, I did this thing for the History Channel, and I was Olympias, and I had to make out with, and I'm like 22, and I had to make out with like this 60-year-old man who was playing King Philippe. Yeah, let me just tell you how disgusting that shit was.
Whoa.
And it was like this beard and like, I don't know, like it smelled weird. And I was like, oh my God. I'm an actress, I can do this. Oh my God, this is horrible. Like it was so bad.
For like what we do, you know, we play make-believe.
Right.
You know, we lie as human beings and that's fantastic. Right. But come on. A 60-year-old?
I feel like I have lost, like, all...
King Philippe, back then, was... and it was during the same time that Val was doing Alexander. So, like, he was an older guy. And, like, you know?
Yeah.
And so... And, yeah. I know. And it was Discovery Channel's, like, movie version of it, so...
That's cool, though. That
I'm sitting here, like, oh, my God, this is really happening.
Yeah.
I feel like I personally, especially doing stuff at Zombie Joe's, which, you know, by the name, you can guess, like, some of the material... Like, I can do anything.
Yeah.
I can do anything on stage at this point. I've done crazy things. I've given birth. I've given birth on stage a few times. Yeah. I've made out with every shape, size, and age. I've been naked.
Really?
I have.
Wow.
And it was...
See, I don't think I would do that.
It was scary at first.
Yeah. Oh, I'm naked, actually.
Yeah?
Really?
That was her... she's the
idea?
One who suggested that, yes.
That was her idea.
It's not, like, frontal. It's kind of like... I'm basically being bathed by my two boys.
Like slave boys.
Slave boys, and I'm loving it. And I read something and you know, about what's going to happen later, and then I'm in the sheet, and I just walk off and as casual as anything, just, you know.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't think I would do, I would never do full frontal in a play. I just couldn't do it. I want to be, if I'm going to do that, I'm getting paid a shit ton. Like, when I did Californication, I only did it because it was Californication. I mean, how can you, you know? And I'm still getting paid from that. So, like, that works.
Yeah.
But, like, more power to you. I just don't, like, all those people that are, you know, I'm like, I've done plays before, but I think, like, since it's right there, like, you're used to, like, a crew working with you, and a crew is all respectful. So, but it's, like, these random people that are coming to watch you, and it's, like, I don't know. Given you're in character, so I guess you don't think about it. But then again, like, the beforehand, I'm thinking about it.
Well, I definitely, the first show that I had to be naked in, it was, like, a really intense, like, dark show, and I was having a flashback to, like, my character's father, who would, like, rape my character. He would tell me in the scene, he told me to disrobe, and then stand center stage and turn slowly around, like, naked. And on opening night, my dad was front row center, and I had to step right in front of him like, the slowest turn. It was horrifying, but after that, I have no problem. Like, I can do anything
after
that.
That was the biggest test.
Exactly.
I mean, there's an abundance of people in gyms that walk around butt naked for God knows how long. Have you ever noticed that?
No. What gym are you going to?
Yeah, what gym are you going to?
you mean in...
No, I mean in the changing rooms.
Yeah, in the showers.
Well, that's the changing room. That's, like, different. I don't know. And I don't look at that because most of them have, like, ugh, fat everywhere. And, like, I'm sorry. I just can't. That's when I want to throw up. And then I think, like, disease, germs everywhere. And they just sat their disgusting naked ass on that bench. Now I can't sit on it.
Yeah. No, of course not. Gross. I'm trying to get changed, or I'm trying to do... reply to an email... And the last thing they have on is their knickers or pants or whatever you call them.
I guess it's because, like, yeah.
They have their socks on. They have their makeup done.
Yeah, yeah.
They have their hair permed and prepped and whatever. And they have everything on apart from their underwear.
Right.
Maybe they're thinking that you're going to give them a part in something.
I'm like, are you serious?
I mean, you go to Crunch, so let it not to be. But that is kind of the place where everyone goes. And, like, that's why I liked Crunch. But I didn't like going there because I felt like I was getting picked up on every second. And it drove me insane. And I'm like, if you hear one more line, I'm knocking someone out. I'm knocking someone out. Yeah. I can't.
In Burbank or Sunset.
Oh, the one on Sunset.
Really? That's like Gay Central.
This was a couple years ago. I mean, I know it's gay now, but I don't go there anymore. I go to LA.
But
Fitness.
You see, but straight guys know
I just
that.
Can't.
So then they go and they pick up the women because there's so many available.
No. It depends.
Okay.
That's how I met my boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't. Oh my God. Can't do it.
Yeah.
And he knew it's all gay, so there's no competition.
He didn't went there. He worked there. He's a trainer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
That was fun. That
well, you wanted to promote him, so why don't you go ahead and promote
he's a CrossFit, and he's like a huge trainer out here, and he's up and coming, and I just love him. And she is his birthday tomorrow as well, so happy birthday.
Aww.
Okay. So do you want to tell people how to find him? And
Do they have to belong to Crunch?
He didn't want to just get on the
roof. No, he doesn't work there anymore. He works for Muscle Mechanics.
Okay.
You know, near the Beverly Center? Beverly Center?
Yeah, I don't go over there.
Go, you should shop there. That's good.
Yeah, it's nice there, yeah. But, so, I mean, obviously, you didn't just get on the mic to say, oh, I have a boyfriend and he's a trainer.
You want to tell him.
Yeah, tell him where people can... Does he have a website or anything?
Not at the moment. He's just gone private to Muscle Mechanics.
Does he have a Twitter?
He does.
Give him a Twitter.
Okay, let me find it out first.
I mean, do you want... Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have
to. No, and he's on Instagram, and all of his Instagram things are, like, pictures are all about, like, nutrition and how to lose weight, how to lose fat, how to do this, and all this kind of stuff. It's really good. It's Elite Fit 32.
Okay.
So it's Elite Fit 32.
And see, what I find great about it, too, is, like, whenever I go to a trainer, I'm always careful who I go to. A, I want to make sure they're a good trainer and they're in shape. But B, I don't want some dude hitting on me. So the fact that I know that he has a girlfriend, I feel more better. Like, I think a lot of girls would. So that's why I'm saying go ahead and promote it. Because I think more girls would be apt to call him because knowing that he's not going to just, you know, be cheesy and hit on them the whole time.
He's a very...
So that's good.
Yeah, he's a very decent guy.
Yeah, right. He obviously hit on her if he's a boyfriend.
They were single.
Yeah.
Single
time. Was around, actually. I actually... One of my first messages to him, and it was a double entendre. I said to him, have you ever done a Brit before?
Really? Oh, God.
And he replied saying... Excuse me? Like, answer the question.
Oh my God. How come this never happens to me? God damn it.
Aren't you married, Sam?
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, in general, it doesn't matter if I'm married or not. I mean, people can approach you anyway.
Okay.
Right? But so you grew up in England.
I did.
At what point did you come out here? How many years ago?
I've been here for a year and like 3-4 months.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So not too long.
Not too long. I'm still baby over here.
Yeah. So what made you decide to move here?
Well, I just finished my degree in theatre, and I wanted to come. My two brothers were living over here. They're in finance.
Oh, okay.
One of my brothers is a writer, and he's become very successful. He's got a feature film, been into CAA, and it's all going very well for him. Uh-huh. And I just moved over here. I went to school at New York Film Academy.
Oh, nice.
And studied there for a year, and then came out and started.
So you figured this is where the work is in LA.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
And this is where the sunshine is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you never get used to the British weather there, huh?
You don't get used to it, but, like, you don't get used to it at all. But
I do miss being cold, and that sounds insane, but I do miss it. I do miss the rain and snuggling
that's
up.
That's your element. Yeah, that's what you grew up with.
Yeah,
you know, of course.
I know. Just rain a bit more, and I'd be fine.
I know.
Just go to the East Coast. And you're good.
Or go up north to Seattle. You'll get all the rain you want.
Well.
Cool. So obviously you like it here. Is your family still back there?
I love it here. No, they've moved back. They've had babies. They've had babies, and I think they felt that the education system was better in England, and they moved back. They miss it like hell.
Right.
They really miss the lifestyle over here.
Right.
You know, the beach. Yeah. They lived on Abbott Kinney, so it was
Nice.
Fantastic.
In Venice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice area. Really nice. Gorgeous shops and restaurants. Yeah. And
they lived the LA vibe pretty much.
They did.
Yeah. When you go near the beach, that's what you get, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally LA.
Yeah. How about you, Vanessa? Did you grow up here?
I grew up here. I'm a Southern California girl.
Really? Mm-hmm. Very unusual.
I know. That's what everyone says.
I know. Most people are not born here, you know?
No, yeah, that's I've lived here all my life, and so I started, you know, acting and writing at a young age. And
what part of town did you grow up in?
I grew up in Malibu.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
And but Malibu is very lovely but very expensive.
Yes.
So at a certain point, my family, when I was about 12, mm-hmm. we moved to Simi Valley. I don't know if anyone knows where that is.
Simi Valley is... They're saying it's the best place to live for families.
It's a good place for families.
Right.
You know, kids my age hated it, I think, for the most part.
Because it's the end of the world, you know? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And it was a big culture shock going from Malibu to Simi Valley.
I'm sure, yeah.
It was a big culture shock.
Yeah.
But now I live, you know, in Los Angeles, and it's great. I love it here.
Cool.
I never have lived anywhere else, but I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Have you traveled places? Or
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I've been to England briefly.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, various places in Europe and, you know, Mexico. Which is, I guess, the place everywhere everyone in Southern California goes to.
Yeah.
That in Vegas, right? That's where everyone goes. So.
Yeah, there you go.
I went to Vegas for the first time Valentine's Day. My boyfriend took me and got me a puppy. How cute.
Aww.
Wait, he got you a puppy at Vegas?
No, he got me a puppy before we went to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And took me to Vegas on Valentine's Day. And it was fun, but it's...
You're not crazy about Vegas.
No, because
no, I'm not either. I lived there twice.
Oh.
And in the 70s and in the 90s, I don't miss it at all now.
No.
You know, it's totally different now.
I can't go longer than 2 days.
Oh, yeah, right. 2 days max.
I go insane if
otherwise,
it's like more than 2 days.
Otherwise, you need a vacay from Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas. Vegas.
Which is funny because, like, a lot of my friends, I have a lot of friends over in England and New Zealand. I don't know what it is. But when they come over, they come to LA for like 2-3 days, and they go to Vegas for 2 weeks.
Right.
That's insane.
And I'm like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And they do it all the time.
Yeah, but they love gambling, maybe. You know, I mean, for gamblers, it's
crazy partiers.
It's even,
freaking Brits. There's crazy partiers.
I know. We are. Honestly, it's very strange because, you know, I've come over here and I see people drink, and I go, God, you look sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. That wouldn't be allowed in England. Because we can handle our alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what I've realized. We don't drink that many bottles. We drink more pints.
Mm-hmm.
So for every...
Plus it's stronger percent alcohol anyway.
Yeah.
So you get more
and bigger. And so for every one pint we're drinking, you know, it's like it's double kind of thing for Americans drinking.
Right.
And so I look at my boyfriend and all my boyfriend's silly friends and be like, oh... God, pick yourself up and learn how to drink.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I don't like Vegas, because it was, honestly, I went with like four couples. I mean, it was fantastic, beautiful, great. Mm. And one of them actually couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
6'3" guy couldn't walk.
Mm.
I was like, you're embarrassing yourself. You really are.
All right, well, we have to wrap up. So why don't you plug the show, let people know how long it's going to be on still and what time and all that
stuff. It's called Fragments of Oscar Wilde at Zombie Joe's Underground Theater in North Hollywood. It runs Saturday nights at 8:30 for four more Saturdays, so please come out and catch it. The address for the theater is 4850 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood. If you Google Zombie Joe's, or if you Google Fragments of Oscar Wilde, it should come up.
We were in LA Weekly as well.
Oh yeah, really? we got a full article in LA Weekly about us. It was
and
really
if you
awesome.
Go for nothing else, just to see you naked in the show.
Exactly. Cool. I always like to put just a little nudity in my shows to make it worthwhile.
Okay, I'm sold. Anyway,
I'll see you there, Sam. And then
oh, he'll be there.
Front row and center.
And then you guys brought a friend, Vicky. Vicky, do you want to give a shout out to anybody or anything? No.
Okay.
Any friends or anything? No.
Vicky's from Bermuda. Yeah. Very special little girl.
Really? From Bermuda?
Yeah, I'm from Bermuda.
Wow, how cool. Well, you're going to have to come back and we'll interview Vicky as well and stuff. You know, you guys are always welcome back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've
so
been
much
a lot of
us.
Fun. Of course, everybody go check it out. The show for another 4 Saturdays, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay,
please
sounds
come see
good.
It.
Okay, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Brigitta, thank you. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.